blessings.
And know the respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha, Samadhi, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha, Nirodha, Gamini, Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, Anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, Dukkha. All things are without self, Anatta. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Kriyaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves its path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 very prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born in karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sattva. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering is more important than anything. We will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and bring to release. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to monthly donors. Should we have that this morning? Welcome.
So recently I've been looking at this condition process of trying to be good. Trying to be good at something, mm-hmm. and then all the ego stuff that goes on around that. So, mm-hmm. reviews afterwards, trying to gather information, mm-hmm. Preparation, mm-hmm. and then the constant assessment and all that kind of jazz.
Before, the after,
all the way through the whole life of it. Uh-huh.
So, totally trying to be good at it.
Yeah, we're trying to prepare for these kind of peak moments. You know, it's like, and I have just, it's been such a week, such a workshop. I've seen so much. And one of the most powerful things I saw actually came from something I heard someone say in a call last week. Uh-huh. And this happens a lot. During the call, I heard this person say it, and I was like, it didn't even register. Uh-huh. Later in the week, kind of through this context, it was like, oh my gosh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So basically, this person was going to be kind of facilitating in what I was projecting as kind of like a big deal kind of opportunity, uh-huh. and was not going to get the information about the thing until right before it. Mm-hmm. And the person said, I projected kind of half joking, half serious, but who knows? Mm-hmm. Get it to me as late as possible, as little preparation as possible. Uh-huh. And it was just so awesome to watch the what happened inside, uh-huh. because ego was like, you know, put myself in that that circumstance, was like freaking out.
I need weeks to prepare.
Oh my God! I could not imagine. I'm having a panic attack, kind of. It's not even me.
But that ability to put yourself in that situation.
Parallel track, the life track. Uh-huh. It was just like, whoa! Uh-huh. Just like, yes! Just this massive surge of inspiration. Uh-huh. Of just projecting the kind of level of yes to life, uh-huh. the openness to life, the mastery, the trust. Mm-hmm. It was just so exciting and inspiring, mm-hmm. and just kind of a model of what is possible, mm-hmm. for a human. Mm-hmm. And of course, the ego might say, like, you don't know that experience.
Right.
Which is a complete lie.
Right.
There's all kinds of because's, and they're trying to underform all of it. The one that came in, it was a really kind of fun analogy. Mm-hmm. It came from the world of parachuting and skydiving. Uh-huh. And just that, you know, it's funny, as a rookie parachutist or whatever, just freaking out, so tensed up, and like, oh my gosh, there's so much to it. Like, you have to make sure you're clipped in, and here, and here, and here, and here, and there's a four-point check, and then there's the aircraft procedures. And if you mess up on any of it, you're going to die. Yeah. You're going to kill other people. And like, yeah, so the whole time you're just like, check, triple check, quadruple check, freaking out, and just like, oh, grit, you know, and then it comes to the aircraft procedures, and you're just super anal about it, and then it comes after the exit, and like, it has to be perfect to set you up to be in the perfect body alignment so that nothing freaky happens. Uh-huh. And, I mean, all rookies are like that, across the board, yeah, I totally was. Yeah. But at a certain point, with enough practice, I mean, the training, a person can get to the point where you can really relax about it, where you can actually just kind of grab the parachute off the rack, kind of drape it on willy-nilly, get in the airplane, doors off, just went, and kind of get to the point where you're so relaxed. I actually have this experience, so relaxed, I don't even have my parachute on, I'm sitting next to an open door, just kind of like, so relaxed and happy, hand out the door, kind of making the little thing like a kid in a car, and then drift off to sleep. Fall dead asleep. Wake up. Somebody's like, did you see the spot? Did you see the streamers? Important information. No, where are they pointing? Okay, get ready. And then it's like, clip, clip, check, check, check. Got it. It's like, that level of, It's a level of training, and then it's also the two things I saw about it that applies across the board. Mm-hmm. It's trusting that in those moments where it's really, really, really important, that I have the ability to be totally present.
Yes.
And in that moment of total presence,
yes,
I only need to check it once.
Yes.
It doesn't take any preparation.
Yes.
It's like, bam, right there.
Yeah.
And then also, simplicity, the joyous and practical guide.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's a bunch of things that are important in skydiving.
Right.
Things that kind of keep in conscious awareness. But there's really only like two or three
uh-huh.
that are life or death.
Uh-huh.
If you take care of those,
yep.
and it's kind of okay.
Yep.
And you get to the point where, as you train, you get to the point where an unpoised exit is a possibility. Where you can actually just...
Right.
fall out of the airplane willy-nilly,
uh-huh.
and tumbling, and you know how to correct yourself.
You know the principles.
And get to where you need to be.
Yeah.
So I was just looking at that around, like, facilitation or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, with that, trusting that we train in the ability to be present in the moment.
Yes.
And when we're there present in the moment, we have everything we need.
That's right.
So we're focusing the attention just on one or two most important things, and everything else.
That's right.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And then in that, we can be completely unemployed. We can be in that place that I heard the other day on that call, like,
yeah.
yep, get it to me as light as possible.
Yeah.
I'm just going to show up, I'm going to sit down, life's going to happen.
Yeah. Complete trust that comes from a fair amount of experience.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as you're describing that scenario, it's so interesting that, you know, those principles that are super important. You know, you have to have those checks, and that it's a very natural human thing that at the beginning of it, there's just this triple check, quadruple check, double check, you know.
Weeks at a time.
7 months.
Exactly.
Weeks at
a time. Thinking about it at night, not being able to sleep.
Right. Which, of course, doesn't help at all.
Right?
But it seems to be part of the deal.
Yeah.
But that over time, as we build that experience, we build that trust. We no longer have to have that, but we have to have presence.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because without the presence, and I forgot this one, I know how to do this.
Right.
If we go to that unconscious place, we're in trouble.
Right.
But if we have the presence, the experience over time allows us to let go into letting life leave.
Yeah. Which happens every time.
Every time.
Every time. It's never let me down.
That's right.
I mean, the voices want to give me this, but what if one time
That's right.
I'm not present enough
yeah.
on the cushion or in the airplane? What if? But it's never happened.
It's never happened, and, I mean, when it happens, because in little ways it happens throughout our life.
Sure, yeah.
that becomes the opportunity of the falling out, and then it becomes something that we can learn from.
Yeah, basically. You're right. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I guess it's like the one or two things that make the difference.
Yeah.
That's life and death. Yeah. It seems like life shows up for that.
For those. For,
yeah. And then all that little things like, oh, yeah, I missed that. This might be a little bit of a rough opening. I might have to correct. Yeah. You know, but that's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah. 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 And you know what's so fun, I don't know if it's your experience with that, it feels like as we have that experience in a given content, you know, like skydiving or facilitation or whatever it is, that sort of the larger process, the meta process, begins to be available to us even when we're brand new to a content.
Mm-hmm.
So we're brand new to a content, and there's that, oh, you know, conditioning's trying to talk us into the triple check, quadruple check, and it drops in, I think this is like all of those other things.
That's so great.
And maybe I don't need to do that process with it.
Yeah. And if I do, to let the human off the hook there too. Maybe that's part of the.
Exactly.
Maybe I need to have that experience.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
Because eventually I know I'm going to get to that place of asleep in the airplane, relaxed for an unemployed exit, happy to climb.
Exactly. And it's so funny because, in a way, when we have that disidentified perspective of, well, yeah, it's brand new. No wonder you're doing the triple check, the quadruple check, you know, we're already in that place. With the instead of the, because right,
yeah.
I project that in that place of when you were first learning the skydive, you didn't have that larger perspective that you're articulating right now, the larger process perspective.
Yeah.
But having that now, and even though that might happen, you know, the checking again and again and again, there's still that perspective of, well, it's fine.
Gosh.
That's okay.
So kind. You just have the image of the compassion being a mentor, right?
Exactly.
There holding the hand like, hey, this is how it goes.
Yeah.
It's all right, I got you back, kid. Yeah. Now let's do this.
Yeah.
It's just so fun.
Yeah.
Takes all the terror and panic out of it, replaces it with enthusiasm
exactly.
and inspiration.
Exactly.
The other thing I thought about preparation, which was super helpful that the mentor dropped in, was that place of, you know, once we go to places like, I got to prepare. Like the night before, as if like that's what's going to make the difference.
Right.
But of course it won't. And what life was dropping in was the preparation happens in the way that you live your life, in the way that you train yourself moment by moment by moment, every single day, day in and day out. And if you've been doing that, then you don't need any preparation. You can just show up and be that experience that you've been living.
Yes.
And if you haven't been doing that, no amount of preparation will get you ready for this.
No.
So it's just really that simple. It's like you have to live it moment by moment.
Yeah. Boy, skydiving is the perfect image, isn't it? Because it's a real leap of faith.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, it's what was pointed at with that worry is not preparation.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, one process doesn't lead to another.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So if, of course, well, especially facilitation is such an obvious example, all we need is presence.
That's it.
So if I'm practicing thinking it through and then guess what's going to happen? That's the process that's going to happen when I'm attempting to facilitate.
Right.
So all I can do is just practice being present, which is the process that we want with every content throughout our lives.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no way to practice that intensely the night before.
Right.
It's just one of those things that you live it,
yeah.
and then when you need it, it's available.
Yeah.
And it happens. It's on the cushion, it's bad, but it's like, at job, at the work site, at with an important conversation with a loved one, when the kids are acting up, when the whatever, like across the board, that's the process.
Yeah. It's funny. I just had this memory of I was with someone in my family who was getting married the next day. And that night she was practicing. Trying to just be here. She's like, I want to practice to be able to be present for the day. And I just thought, bless your heart.
Bless your heart.
Oh, bless your heart. You go.
Yeah.
You know? Just, the instinct is so right on.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
To be that
present.
And that's the presence of, like, you know? Make giant
that's the thing.
Let
go,
right? That's great.
Oh, bless your heart. So much gratitude for the person who gets the importance of that, the practice, and the willingness to show up to practice it day in, day out, every day, no matter what, when it feels like it or not, knowing that it's the long run.
Exactly.
thing.
Yeah. No standards.
Yeah.
No expectations. We're not getting anywhere.
Sometimes it looks pretty good, sometimes not so much.
That's right. And we don't even know, right? Sometimes it, quote, looks terrible. Really? Maybe not. Maybe it was just a really hard thing going through.
Yeah.
And there was a whole lot of presence to meet it, and then there's a condition assessment afterwards that it was terrible. We don't know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's a silly joke. With skydiving, if at first you don't succeed, so much for skydiving. But that's not actually true. There's a ton of ways to, yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, that's the beauty of life, is that we get opportunity after opportunity continue to.
Well, it's funny you say that, because, you know, I didn't want to take it in another direction, but knowing nothing about skydiving, and as you're saying, you know, we've got to do all these things, I'm just imagining that life and its wisdom has all kinds of ways to take care of the new person.
It does.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Because the chances that the new person is going to miss one tiny thing are pretty huge. So I'll bet you anything, there's something in place that prevents,
exactly.
That knows that.
Yeah, and just like facilitating, too.
Yeah,
there's just like supports in place.
Exactly.
You're not hung out there on your own where if you fall, you're going to take everybody down. You're supported. And it's the same. The new people in this stuff all the time. And if it was just up to them, they'd be going in right and left.
Yeah.
But, there's other people that are actually, that will pull the handle for you, if you know.
Exactly.
We have that support in practice, too.
Yeah.
There's people who are paying attention.
Yeah.
They'll pull the handle for us if we don't.
Yeah. So we're told, you know, this could be it for you or everyone else, too. And it's just so not true.
Not it.
So not true. It's not the way it's designed.
No, life is so infinitely more supportive than we're taught to believe.
Yeah.
We're so cared for.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really true. You know, the possibility of practice is that we can learn to be present in every moment of our lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, something like skydiving or all kinds of things are an indication that we know how to do it when we have to.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a whole sport of whatever you call it that, you know, I bet a lot of people who are involved in that are pretty unconscious a lot of the time in their lives.
Oh, yeah.
But in terms of designing the system, when it comes right down to it, we know what's needed.
Yeah.
You know, we know the fail-safe things that need to be put into place. So it's just a matter of broadening that and realizing that, wow, we can live in that presence in every moment, not just, quote, the important ones.
And I don't want to go on and on and on. But I do project that a lot of people that get into that kind of thing, they get into that because they are unconscious a lot of their lives. And they know that is an experience they're required to be in pure presence.
Yes.
It's a beautiful experience.
Yes.
Unfortunately, for a lot of those folks, that's the only way they know how to access it.
Right.
And I just feel so grateful to have this practice that helps us to be able to live it.
Yeah.
Not just in those special moments, but every single day, like you're saying.
Right. Boy, and it is there's so much possibility there, isn't there? Because for someone who knows the experience of being willing to jump out of an airplane, boy, it just would be the smallest little Aikido move to have that person see that courage and that willingness and that presence shifted to the internal experience. I mean, the potential would be giant there.
I've been looking at that a lot. And I also project it's not just for somebody who knows that experience, that everyone knows that experience.
Definitely.
In some way, in everyone's life, they know that experience of heroic courage and willingness.
Yeah.
And just go in there and bring that to every part of our lives.
Yeah, and then that brings us around to the last connection, which is that, so for you, sitting there listening to that person in the meeting, maybe that was what was going on for the person who said that, maybe not, but it was what was going on for you.
Definitely happened. Yeah. I don't know what was going on for the other person, but it took me right to that, like,
right
to that voice exit.
Exactly.
Trust life.
And then the voice says, you don't know that place. Like, really? There it was.
I really saw in that, the whole thing we talk about ego being the opposite of what's real.
Yeah.
Because that whole idea of preparation and getting ready for things is so ingrained.
Yeah.
It's so deeply ingrained. And as Lakota was talking, I'm saying, if I'm preparing now, for something that's happening tomorrow, I'm actually putting my attention, I mean, on something that's not, it's not even helpful at all.
Right.
Because if I'm preparing, then I've got this predisposed way I'm going to be, and this situation is likely not going to match at all.
Right.
So it's actually...
So then what really happens is like, hey, Nathan, you weren't supposed to say that. Yeah. Don't you remember?
So the preparation is the opposite of helpful. It's actually detrimental.
Completely.
And I really saw that in that
really
conversation. Yeah.
Not only is it not helpful, it's actually detrimental.
Yeah.
Because it's not happening now, and the chances are about 100% that it's not going to happen the way it's being rehearsed.
Not at all.
So it prevents us from being present when we're actually in the situation.
Exactly, because we got our mind on what we prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And what a good scam for ego, because then not only do you do this and you mess up, then you can feel really bad about and resentful about how much you prepared and how much work you put into it, and then what? This audience didn't even respond in a nice way after I did all that preparation.
I'm going to have to prepare more next time.
Yeah! It's really, the system is just really nails, isn't it?
It really is. To get us to look in exactly the opposite direction.
Yeah, and think we're really, on top of it.
Right, and then the courage to, in the face of seeing that, which is why it's so important that no matter what goes on, we stay present to it, right? Because we're going to see that for ourselves.
Right.
If we keep trying to prepare, right, and we're, staying aware of that, we're seeing that process go on, and then next day the thing happens and we do the thing, and then if we're staying aware of all of it, that's just going to drop in for us. Wait a minute. Wait, this is not actually working.
Yeah, and that's another place where we can see that if we feel bad, we're going to miss that.
Exactly.
We're going to miss that important information because we're going to take it all on and sink into a...
Oh, God, see,
and it doesn't matter how much I ever try.
And then the only, quote, solutions that are available to us are within that same system.
Yeah.
But when we're present to it and when we don't go feeling that, then it drops in, I'll just try something different next time.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do the Thomas Edison, okay, well, that wasn't the filament that lights up.
Yeah.
Let's do another one.
That's the one.
Let's try not preparing, see how that goes.
Yeah.
Well, I just have to, just so reminded of the rules of improv. Which I can never remember to repeat.
Always say yes. Remember that one.
I remember that one. And but that's it.
Have fun. I'm sure that helps.
Have fun. Right. And what is also occurring when people were talking was, it's just so ingrained in me, of course, to go to the head to figure things out, and maybe the best way to prep is to take care of the body. To be as fit as you can and to be stretched out to just be here and to just show up to whatever's next with that. And I love that thing about, and if it doesn't go like you wanted it, well, you've learned something about improv, Well, that move didn't really, that didn't work, so.
And you know what's so perfect about that is, so we're saying, I can never remember what those things that, the guidelines of improv are, but someone made those up.
Right.
So we don't actually have to go think of what the guidelines are. All we have to do is turn our own, to look for our own experience of improv, and there are the guidelines for improv.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know, just saying that too, it's like there's something in that about authenticity too.
Yeah.
It's like, so if here are the guidelines for improv, and then that's the opportunity for us to be in our authenticity.
Yeah.
And who knows?
Right.
Who knows what this particular authentic being, what their rules for improv are.
Exactly. Yeah.
And just how much more fun.
How much more fun,
you know, to come from that place. So.
And it underlines the arrogance of the egocentricity, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because as you say that, the authenticity is in each of us, right? And so to play that role of God, this is terribly, so let me just tweak it a little bit this way and, you know, be that way. But gosh, what is that? You know, what else would there be to do but to just learn to be present and let authenticity express?
Because I might look like a fool,
right?
Which is the thing that the heart really wants to be,
right?
You know, just be that total fool and to just, you know, not take any of it personally and be able to just, like, you know, walk away.
Yeah.
You know,
be the in the practice intensive that we're working on this week, be Mary Oliver up in the tree, counting the leaves.
Yeah.
Right? That's what she's going to do for today.
Yeah.
And so my favorite part was how she had a clipboard. You know, it would be totally different. It would not be the same thing at all. It's like, oh, I'm going to count the leaves on the tree, and 1, 2, 3. But she's really going to count the leaves on the tree. And she's got her clipboard. Because she's going to lose count, you know? I mean, and just it's just so amazing. And how people would look at that and say, well, that's crazy. You know, what are you doing? And her point being, at least from what I hear, it is
just
the delight that it brings to the human.
It's so beautiful.
So beautiful.
Because, ego would just... I heard it too. Ego would just go right in. Are you kidding? in a notebook too to write down. I mean, that's just way over the top.
Yeah.
You know. Wow. Just to be in that place of who cares?
You know? Who cares?
Who cares? It just is like connected.
Yeah.
And just and the joy of being alive. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to have that courage to express whatever life is expressing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's that authenticity. It might not be for everybody to be up in the tree climbing.
Exactly. No, it isn't. For some people, it's, you know, it's this for Einstein, and it's this for Mozart, and it's that for, you know, it's completely different things.
Uh-huh.
But we can all sense when it's there.
Yeah. 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 And to follow it and to honor it and
Yeah, and you'll hear people talk about, you know, I mean, Sherry's said this any number of times where, you know, I don't know where that came from. And even kind of that sense of, okay, this came through, here it is. You know, it's not mine. I didn't think it up.
Yeah. Yeah, that I don't know where this came from, and I don't know what just came through. I couldn't repeat it again.
I couldn't repeat it again. Exactly.
To just be in that place of absolutely no clinging, no owning it at all.
Yeah.
Just, you know, owning it. So,
On the preparation piece, I could just see how ego could turn that into, so just don't prepare for anything and just show up. You know, and just seeing that it's not really...
Don't flip your... It's the joke, right, about the guy who's in the flood and he's going to get saved, God's going to save him. You know that one? Everyone know that one? Yeah.
No.
The one where, and you know, it starts raining, it's going to be a huge flood, it's like, everyone's like, God, let's get out of here. And the guy's like, no, God's going to take care of me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're like, no, really, dude, you got to get in the car, let's go. You know, he doesn't. And then, you know, it gets worse and worse and worse, and he gets up on the roof, and, you know, God's going to save him, blah, blah, blah. And so a boat comes by, no, I'm good, God, right? And then the helicopter comes by, no, I'm good, right? And he dies, right? And then he goes to, God, what? He says, I sent you a car and a helicopter.
Yeah, gosh, because I've had those experiences where, like I have to give a talk or something like that, or I'm going to present something, and kind of like, just pointing at the process.
Yeah.
So I'm not preparing so that I'll, my karma, so I'll look good later. But I'm just simply bringing presence to the material and kind of mentoring the person who's going to give the talk. Like, hey, here's the stuff that we need to cover. Sometimes I'll record it, listen to it. Just kind of, it's almost like just letting it sink in however it needs
Absolutely.
To. Letting life know, hey, I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah.
Here are the pieces, like it seems.
Absolutely.
And then, but what I notice seems to really help is when I get to the thing, to just completely drop all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and then it's, and I don't know, my experience of that at times is super amazing, where it's just like all those little pieces just start to go, but I'm not making it happen in that conversation beforehand. I'm going to say this, they're going to think that, but all the pieces that are there, and the person's been prepared in that way, but life is orchestrating the whole time.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It seems subtle, and it is, when we first kind of set out to look at those two places. Well, what do you mean, not prepare? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm giving a presentation, you think I shouldn't choose my slides? I mean, it's not that at all, right? In fact, there's a way in which making the presentation and there's the information and all that could really come from a place of love and stewarding, right? Life's, through you, going to offer this information to this group of people. And you can prepare it from that place instead of exactly as you said, from the place of how am I going to look and how am I going to feel later and what's everyone going to think of me and etc. Such completely different prophecies.
Yeah. I had something else too, just quickly going to look at was I talked on Thursday about this pretty intense karma that came up for me on a trip home in a past relationship. And since I've been back at the monastery, I've been really noticing. It's just talking to me about that interaction, and it's just a very familiar process around, well, if you would have said it this way, if you would have done it next time, well, and if you really, what you could understand about this person, or what I understand about you, actually, what you could understand about karma is, and I just noticed that conversation in the past had just been torture. Mm-hmm. You know, that feeling of like, there's something wrong with me that just keeps going on.
Mm-hmm. That the conversation?
That the conversation's going on and that somebody's obsessed with making it right.
Yeah.
It was the story.
Yeah.
There is something really wrong with you.
Right.
And you can't let this go.
Right.
And then, you know, the next second, you know, it just reinforces that because there's the attention back on the thing.
Right, there's something wrong with you that you can't let go that I'm talking to you about 24/7.
Yes, exactly. So that's really what I've been watching is that, like, what is that about? You know, well, it's sort of like, because there was even this voice I heard saying, you know, if this monastery thing doesn't work out, we could go home and make this right.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Yeah, exactly. And then I realized, oh, of course, because that desperateness, that obsession, that surviving is the system, not me.
Yeah.
It's desperate to stay alive because making it all okay is the identity that hooks the person into that conversation.
Yes, and that in what you're saying, it feels like it's exactly like we were talking about earlier in the conversation with Lakota, where, you know, so there's that triple checking. It's an analogy of that, isn't it? And that we get to the place of, well, no wonder he's tortured by that. That, you know, no wonder that conversation goes on incessantly. That doesn't mean anything about him.
Exactly. It's that mistaken identity thing again, thinking that I'm the identity who's desperately trying to get something right so that it will be okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's its life.
That's its life. And the reason it's using that is that's what the human's vulnerable to.
Yep.
So it uses whatever the human will fall for.
Exactly. And just that place of it's so just not personal.
Not personal at all.
You know, it's like, I was listening to an old recording where I was hearing myself talk about feeling like the intense karma was like a fire next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the disidentification, that the fire was still going on, but it was like in a little campfire, like a cross in a big field.
Mm-hmm.
And just so clear on that point that the fire is just fire, the heat, the intensity, but it's not my fire.
Right.
You know, so that conversation about you need to look okay or make this right is just a fire.
Yeah.
And it just gets confusing because it feels so close at times that I think that it's me or mine, as opposed to just heat.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And therefore I have to do something about it, and I have to overcome it,
and
if I can't, then,
So instead of trying to get away from that, or stop that conversation, just watching that same thing, where that fire, karma, can keep burning. But in that distance, it went into that little campfire with the ring around it again, yeah, over there in the field. So I'm aware of it,
yeah,
but it's not up here, like, burning my face.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great place to be, isn't it? Because the other thing, I'm just kind of like, oh, that's not my fire. I'm sure the fire is well out. But to have it in your awareness, and it's over there, it's just doing its thing, it's just fire, it's not personal to me, it doesn't mean anything about me. But you can see if it starts to draw closer to you. That's such a great place to be.
Yeah, and it has been. I mean, feel it right here, and
yes,
then there's
exactly
a distance. Feeling right here,
yeah,
in the distance.
We're the opponent. Oh, okay, mm-hmm. We're the opponent. There it is again. Mm-hmm. We're the opponent. Yeah, because it calls us to presence.
Yes.
And that's yeah, that's the Aikido training.
Yes.
It's supposed to be in our face. We're going to panic. We do whatever it does, because I'll do anything to get away from mm-hmm us. But instead, we train ourselves to use it as a, okay, got it. Whatever the thing is, okay, every time it's there, I'm going to record for 3 minutes. Every time it's there, I'm going to do the hokey pokey. Every time, you know, whatever it is, drink a glass of water. But we train to have that be a call to presence instead of turning to conditioning,
yeah,
which it's supposed to do.
Yeah, right, when you're saying that, that's a call to presence, just like, gosh, what a gift.
Yeah.
You know, because when we don't have those intense things, it's just so easy just to,
awesome,
on a low level in consciousness, you know. So, just grateful that fire is there and have something that calls me to presence.
Yeah, exactly. And not need it to be skydiving.
Skydiving, yeah.
Because then, I mean, that's the amazing thing about practice, is then everything is waking us up.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead of having to have those peak experiences.
Yeah.
And then you can see why people constantly put themselves, not realizing it, not realizing I'm putting myself, but to constantly be in sort of a triage of our lives, because it's the only thing that makes us feel real.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you just said that, I was thinking, well, it seems that life, I mean, I can really see that in monastic training, but that life's always putting us in those places,
yes,
to go up against those things that call us to presence.
Yes.
That, what an interesting orientation to be looking for that.
Right.
What is life putting me in right now,
yes,
that's calling me to presence?
Yes.
And to see that is such a gift, as opposed to, oh my gosh, I get away.
Right.
You know, to do that flip and go,
exactly,
yes,
exactly,
so this is for me.
Yeah.
Life's on my side. It's a process of waking up.
Right.
Thank
so
you.
There's the improv guideline, right? So
yep,
instead of, no, yes,
and. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, that place you're talking about, is, to me, in my experience, you know, the place where we use conditioning as the call to practice is the turning point in practice.
Yeah.
It's the absolute, you know, 180, whatever it is.
Yeah, the balance of power has shifted.
Yeah, and it makes every, that point and every point in life the peak experience. Particularly that point, you know, when we turn it around and it's like, you know, there is all that joy. So it is.
There's all that joy.
Yeah, right. It is a peak experience.
Yeah.
And the other thing it reminded me of is that Sherry said a while back that, you know, everything that life puts in our path is for me.
Right, exactly.
So it's, mm-hmm, it's everything. And I say that every day because that's, I want to remember that. Because that's, to me, that keeps that turning point really fresh and always,
yeah,
there.
Yeah. It's so good, though, because when you said that, I just saw how ego wants it to be about me, but in the life place, it's for me.
That's great, yeah, exactly.
You know, so
that's,
instead of a victimized, it becomes,
yeah,
a really, to use a New Age word, empowering place, but it really is.
It is, because it is, yeah.
Right.
It's the gift. I mean, it really is. And we've said that in so many different ways all along in practice, that, you know, that our karma, our karmic conditioning is the gift that makes us practice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so yet ego wants us to, you know, rail against it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, because that's the only thing to do to make it look bad to us so that we don't use it.
Exactly.
To what it's supposed to be used for, to our salvation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing.
Hey.
I've had occasion recently to live in I don't know. Uh-huh. And
you had occasion recently.
Many occasions.
I bet we all did.
But I was more aware of this occasion because
yeah.
I was in a situation where I really didn't. I didn't know the setting. I didn't know the people,
uh-huh.
and I didn't know the situation and how it would turn out and all
right.
of that. And
so it was one of those places where yes, we always don't know, but it's really obvious because everything's new.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's no illusion of knowing.
Right. There's no illusion of knowing.
And how. I mean, it was one of those times of just being grateful for practice, you know? It wasn't so much like, okay, I'm going to practice in this situation. It wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I'm experiencing a degree of at-easeness, you know, a degree of confidence in this situation that would not be there
uh-huh.
if I was in a different relationship with I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Almost like all the practice that is just with you now was available to you
in
the situation.
So it's a kind of one of those, kind of those, what we consider, I suppose, an adversary experience, you know? in that you come up against something sudden and hard
mm-hmm.
And potentially pretty scary at times,
mm-hmm.
And just sort of realize that you're in a different place. Than
yeah.
you would otherwise have, that you've been in our
right.
past situations.
Right.
And just feeling a great deal of gratitude for that.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? And then, at least in my experience, it feels like it's something we're receiving. Not something
mm-hmm.
I did, not something I made happen, but
no.
just something we're receiving.
It's like a discovery.
Yeah.
It's like discovering.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like you suddenly pass by a mirror. A different kind of a mirror than you're usually seeing yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't seen, wow, things are really different.
Yeah. And it was an interesting situation, too, in that there were moments when it looked like the situation could get really bad and scary, which had to do with another person's illness.
Uh-huh.
And at some level, that was okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, even as I say that, I can hear the conditioned voice saying, what do you mean it was okay? No, but it was. At some level, it was okay. And that allows presence.
It does. It really does, because it's one of those, on some level, that's okay. You know, someday, for all of us, that's what we're practicing for.
Well, and if it's not okay, then that's the conversation in it.
Exactly.
And which has nothing to do with what's actually happening.
Right.
And it's okay in a sense. It's okay being in a place where it feels like that's okay. Actually, makes it okay.
It does make it okay, and it allows us to have whatever experience we're having.
Right, which is the okayness, actually. You know, it's sort of a double thing. I'm expressing it very well, but
yeah.
So I just, you know, I just really, and it was also a time of really for me a very good practice in reaching out for support,
mm-hmm.
which. Again, it was something for years I couldn't do very easily, and I had no trouble doing that, and receiving it,
mm-hmm.
and appreciating it, and experiencing that, coming to a situation that way supports everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just everywhere.
Support is everywhere,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just everywhere.
Yeah.
And you have to actually resist support.
Yeah. and if we're not here, that's relatively easy to do. Because we're seeing through a filter that says there isn't any.
And the filter allows us to be heroically alone.
Right.
and not in this situation. I mean, it's such a reverse kind of thing. So I just found that there were a lot of things that went on that in a situation that I would, if you know, given my preference, wouldn't have happened.
Right.
And they were all really gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, it's just such a good illustration of the power of practice.
Yeah, and I really had the experience of Sangha being everywhere too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Sangha being in virtual meditation groups because I couldn't make it to group, and Sangha being in the hospital when ring the button. You know, it's the willingness of people to be present and to be there to help,
yeah.
to support is is really quite amazing. And again, I really, if I had come from a place I know myself to have been in many times, mm-hmm. of sort of being the person who had to go it alone, mm-hmm. I would have missed all that.
Right. Yeah. You wouldn't have seen how being able to cross that call button is an experience of samatha.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I was remembering a story Sherry told on a call recently about this, and I had never heard this before, but about this academic who was very well paid, well known, well respected in her field, and she came to the guide and just feeling guilty because what she does is she goes to her office and she reads the material, you know, around the given field, and then she puts her feet up on her desk and like waits for the answer to drop in, and then gets all this accolade and how you doing the other one. And the whole conversation about preparing brought that up to me, and I love that story. Okay, that's it. That's what I'm practicing for. Mm-hmm. Is that level of, you know, trust and faith and letting go and presence and stillness of mind. And I think it was the last of the email classes, the one that talks about with the, just like a pond, you know, still pond, the insects can be noticed on skimming across the surface, but if it's wavy, it can't. It's like that's what I project, the putting the feet up and just waiting is, it's okay, I'm still mind, and then, oh, there's this, oh. Wow, that's brilliant. Oh. And it just drops in, and then she, you know, then this person does what she's trained to do, writes or teaches or whatever, you know. And but that only preparation is whatever drops in that moment to do. You know?
Yeah.
So the way I've been processing that is to look at what is right here currently. It's like what Phil was just talking about. What's meeting me in this day? What's meeting me? It's not like, ooh, I could do that with, you know, some, you know, esoteric, theoretical thing that jazzes ego up, you know, or, you know, and invent something else or drag something from my past or any of those kinds of things. But rather, what's right here? I can just see ego go, that's boring, no fun. but my actual experience is that it's actually very fun. And the way that we have to our proverbial putting our feet up on the desk and waiting for life is recording and listening. Because, you know, we just, you know, do whatever, you know, read the material or do whatever the equivalent of that is, and then just talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then we move the recorder, listen, and there it comes. Mm-hmm. There life just comes, out, you know, out of these vocal cords, into this machine, you know. And then we get to listen, and then more drops in, and it's like that's the process. And I was just struck with two things. One, that actually arose quite simultaneously, that we could, you know, we all know this experience I project. The tremendous gratitude for having the presence, mm-hmm. I mean, for having the tool, mm-hmm. and the tremendous resistance to doing it that just arises right at the same time.
In other words, no wonder there would be so much resistance.
Yeah, and really getting to feel it. You know, it's like, oh, it's there. I mean, now it's a, okay, there it is. And and no wonder.
Kind of back to what Scott alluded to, and clearly that's not me. Mm-hmm. That's just the fire that happens when we reach for the recorder. Mm-hmm. No, I'm nothing.
Any more than the wits and the dropping in is me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then none of it. There is no me. So how is any of that possible?
Good. Was there one? Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I
first of all, just wanted to express gratitude for that amazing experience of the Sunday morning daily recollection. There's so many people in the room.
Yeah. Oh,
I love it. Yeah. The oomph of it, that full body.
I'm
not that we don't do a great job of
it. We do a great job every morning. It's nice to have.
Yeah, it really is. It feels really kind of in keeping with what we've been talking about this morning. I just yesterday saw more clearly than ever like a big core message that's just been coming at her, you know, that kind of that kind of moment by moment, whatever the conversation's about, there's something, there's some like message to it that it kind of has in common. And it was, I saw it because somebody said, oh, well, this might be an opportunity to receive that when life calls, life responds, and it's always there. That authenticity is always there. And I saw that the message has been, it's not going to be there. It's not going to be there. It's not there. You're not there. It's not going to be there.
Life is going to call, but it's not, the authenticity is not going to be there to meet it.
And I saw it like over the decades, all these different experiences. And I saw it, you know, last week, and I saw it, yes, you know.
Big waves, little waves.
Exactly. Like just recently I volunteered to write a little thing, like a little practice article, and it just, you know, there was that just spontaneous, how about I do this thing, and it started right away. It's not going to be there. It's not going to be there. And that just familiar place of, or it's just feels really, you know, kind of, I don't know, and just there's some level of training now where there's that, I kind of know the structures that are going to support the human, so we record and listen, we sit down, we set the timer, we do it in the schedule, and it, you know, and there's that experience of it's there, it's always there, and it's almost like just proving to myself over and over and over again. It's there. It's what is. It's what, you know. And I just realized that I wake up into it every morning, or have been, you know, that it, you know, that experience of whatever is going on, it's not going to be there. It's not going to be there. That's not what you are. You're like me.
Right.
You're like this.
Yeah.
You're not that. You're this. It's not going to be that.
Such a cruel system of torture.
Yeah.
And you know that heroic process that you're describing of it's very similar actually to what other folks have talked about this morning, but that so the equivalent of the triple, quadruple checking, right?
Yeah.
And that you know it's going to be there. You have the experience that it's going to be there.
Yeah.
You know the structures.
Yeah.
You use them.
Yeah.
And still that system of torture is there.
Yeah.
And that is that super critical place in training.
Yeah.
Because up to that moment, you know, it's like ego's pretty much in charge. You know, and then we all know the ways of pushing through something and, you know, kind of to some extent putting something to rest on the other side of it. But that critical place that you're describing where we're doing what we know we need to do, we're taking the practice steps, it's coming at us with everything it's got, the story is still super strong, often very believable, and so what we're so vulnerable to at that point is, what's the point?
It's too hard.
It's too hard.
I really am.
And it's not making any difference. So what if it's there every time? It might not be there one time. And plus, you still believe the story. So, but at that point, the willingness to just keep doing what you know to do. Sit down, set the timer, do the thing, record and listen, is amazing, because it will break through it. It just will.
Yeah.
The egocentricity cannot outlast it, but we just have to keep doing the thing.
Yeah. 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 And the experience of we can't live it alone, right?
Yeah.
To have those mirrors and that kind of just holding the line.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holding the heart.
Yeah. And to have people mirror for us, yes, you can. I mean, the proof that the authenticity is there and that it's always there is that we're here.
Yes.
We've been adequate to everything so far.
Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
Everything. You know, we talked, I don't know, some months back about sometimes it feels like it looks really messy, but that's not the same thing as we're not adequate to it.
Yes.
You know? So we've been adequate to everything up to now.
Yes.
And so to have those mirrors in all kinds of different ways that show us, yes, I am. I'm completely adequate to it.
Mm-hmm.
Then to have Sangha, to hear other people talk about their particular experience with that, and realize, wow, everyone's going up against this.
Right.
Everyone has their version of this.
Yeah.
And we're all required to take those steps.
Yeah.
And that while we can't do it for each other, you know, no one else can sit down and write, which is so perfect, right? No, it's all right, Anna, let me write that for you. I'll write that for you so that you don't have to. It doesn't work that way. But we can be together,
right,
as we're each working on our own salvation.
And thank God it doesn't work that way. Because that's part of the experience of when it is believable. There's this feeling of loneliness.
Yeah.
Like, oh God, I wish
somebody had my computer.
Because it's like, you know, it's at the end of a call and somebody, you're going off to do something and somebody says, you know, good luck. It's like, I know that place of, and that's just like a check-in of how much me is there, or how much that identification is there. Because there's the experience yesterday of hanging up from a call where somebody said, you know, good luck. And it was just that I'm ready and it's okay.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have that that kind of horrible lonely feeling.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like just, you know, when you're in that experience of the hand on the back and that, you know, that life is going to respond, then it doesn't feel kind of lonely and horrible.
Yeah, and it reminds me of what we were looking at with Penny, in the sense of what we realize in those moments is, wow, that hand is always there.
Yeah.
It's just that that conversation is so huge and so attention-capturing that it's hard to see it sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's all right. You know, I mean, that conscious, compassionate awareness that we're held in, as far as I can tell, is just infinitely patient with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, infinitely patient. No timelines, no judgments, no, come on, hello, I'm here all the time. You know, we're just there. We're just so solidly there.
Yeah, in fact, when I woke up this morning, I woke up into, so there was, I could feel that wave of, it's not going to be there, not there, that's not what you are, you know. And, quote it, redirect the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking out the window at this beautiful oak tree just beside a hermitage. And and it kind of said, I've been here all along, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know? Just exactly the words that, you know, heard you say. That's exactly what it
is. Yeah. And that sense of humor is so key.
Yeah.
You know, just drop, as you were saying, that, you know, it's not going to be there. there, you know, just agreeing with it. I know this is probably this is it. Probably the last day. It's not going to be there, and I'm probably not going to make it through this day. So wow, you know. And at the end of the day, well, I guess it was there. So probably tomorrow I won't be.
Exactly.
Maybe tomorrow's going to be the day that it's not there.
Doesn't you know? Enjoy it.
That's right. Because then at the end of every day, we're forced to recognize it was there.
Yes.
All day long. Because yes. Here I am.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. And so every single day, that lie is exposed. Mm-hmm.